I say welcome to everyone. Hey, brother. Amen. If you're joining us here with us for the first time, welcome. Before I get started, I have to take a moment and just pause and give thanks to my lovely wife for that word that she brought last week. Truly, you did an amazing job, and I am just so grateful to have you by my side. I mean, you are phenomenal in so many ways and gifted in so many ways. And the work you put in, you know, getting off these planes and all the stuff you have going on, I just honor you for being my wife. I honor you for just being such an awesome, awesome woman of God. And thank you for what you did last week. She will actually be ministering again this month. Next week, just so you know, we're going to be out of town, and we're going to have a guest speaker here who's going to be bringing the word. Deacon Tony Franklin will be bringing the word. Some of you may have seen him over in the first hour in Sunday school. You have heard the sugar. Now you get to hear the spice. Everybody goes on about his wife, Jody. Well, now you hear the originator. Ain't that what it is, Tony? So Deacon Franklin is going to be bringing the word. And the fourth Sunday when we get back, Lady Nona will be speaking. And then, so you know, the last Sunday of this month, so you get your hearts prepared, Brother John Clemens is going to be bringing the word as well. And so I am anxious to hear what God is doing, and he's raising up people, and so we are excited. We ask that you make sure you come and hear what God would speak through them. You know, I'm learning that every time the word of God is taught, there is power to transform lives. Whenever the word of God is taught properly, the power of God is there to transform lives when you allow it to. The problem is that sometimes you can hear the word of God, but you don't do anything with it. And what I'm learning is that, listen, when the word of God is spoken, sometimes you can compartmentalize it to certain areas. But when God speaks, he means to speak to every area of your life, not just to certain parts, but all of our lives and every area. I say that because God got on me last month, and I'm just going to be transparent. Some of you may have saw a post that my wife sent out on Facebook, and it went something like this. My husband just said the sexiest thing to me ever. And it went on to say something like, he just told me, I'll do the laundry or I'll fold the laundry in the room. You go ahead and go do something else. And many of you responded to all that. But here's the thing. You didn't know what the backdrop was. And the backdrop was God had got on me about some things that I was doing that was wrong. And he came to me and he said, why are you resisting my word? And, you know, my initial response was, well, what do you mean, God? I'm not resisting your word. What are you talking about? And he said, well, you've been preaching about we live to serve. How many of you remember that's what we were talking about last month? He said, well, you've been preaching on we live to serve. And I said, okay. And he said, well, why aren't you serving? And I said, well, what are you talking about? God, I've been serving and all these things. I'm serving around the church. I'm doing all this stuff. And I went through talking all this stuff. But if you know anything about God, when he comes to tell you about something you're not doing, he's not asking you, you know, for you to try to. He already knows. If he's telling you something you've done wrong, you've already done it. You just don't know that you've done it. And so I'm quoting all of these things that I'm doing. I'm around the church, and I've compartmentalized what God is talking about when he says we live to serve to a certain things. I'm talking all the things that I'm doing at the church. And then God says, well, if you're serving and you're doing all this, why is there clothes in your laundry room that haven't been folded? He said, if you live to serve, why are there dishes in the sink that haven't been washed? You doing the same thing that I had to do. He's like, oh. He said, well, if you live to serve, why is your wife's car out there dirty and ain't had been washed? If you live to serve, why are you complaining when it's time to help the boys with their homework? How many know that ain't nothing you can say when God Got to get on you. Listen, and he got on me so bad. He said, didn't you say that the definition of we live to serve, where is it at, Mike, that we see serving as an act of worshiping God? Y'all remember that? Ain't it bad when God come get your own words and say, well, isn't this what you said? That we see serving as an act of worshiping God? Didn't have nothing to say. And then he didn't stop there. He kept going. He said, well, didn't you talk about the reasons why you serve and that the reason why you serve is so you could be great in my kingdom? Do you want to be great in my kingdom? He said, didn't you talk about all the roles and stuff in the church? And he said, don't you know that there's roles in your house as well? Come on, somebody. See, and sometimes you take the word of God and you compartmentalize it to certain things, you know, just this. And God says, I'm not interested in this transforming your life at church. I'm interested in transforming your life in every aspect of your life. And after he got done, there wasn't a whole lot that I could say, but I was guilty. And so if you listen, the power of God is here to transform your life. What you're about to hear has the power to transform your life if you do something with it. Right? So this month, we're talking about the value that we push for excellence. The value is that we passionately pursue excellence. The child of God should live a life of excellence. We should all be pushing and striving for excellence in our lives and anything and everything that we do. How do we define excellence? Mike, do you have that on there? How do we define excellence? We passionately pursue excellence. Keep going down. Keep going on down. Keep going down. Keep going down. Come on, brother. Keep going. There we go. Go to the next one. How do we passionately pursue excellence? Y'all read this along with me. We honor God by continually elevating the quality of services that we render on his behalf. Continually pursuing excellence by doing the services that we do on his behalf. I want you to keep that in mind. We as believers are not called to live a mediocre life in anything that we do. Watch this. We're all to pursue excellence in everything that we do. So the question becomes then, well, what does excellence mean? What does he mean by excellence? So let me try to explain it to you this way. My wife and I like to cruise, right? Before we got married and before we started having children, we used to cruise sometimes several times a year. Sometimes we would go cruising like 2 to 3 times a year of different durations and times and so forth. And whenever we would cruise, we would always go on one particular cruise line, Royal Caribbean. Oh, boy. Royal Caribbean was the bomb. We would go on Royal Caribbean, and all the time we would have so much fun. We just thought it was the best, the bomb, everything. We went on Royal Caribbean until one year, one of our friends came up to us and said, oh, no. You think Royal Caribbean is good. There's a cruise line that's better. I said, man, I don't think it's any better. It can't get any better than Royal Caribbean. And they said, no. I got one for you that if you go on this one, you'll never go back to Royal Caribbean. I said, word? What is it? They said, Disney. I said, Disney? They say, yes, particularly with children, if you go on Disney, you'll never go back to Royal Caribbean. So I said, okay, fine. My wife and I got together. We started saving our money because Disney was more expensive, whatever. So we started saving our money, and we went on a Disney cruise, and I come to find out that everything they said was true. We went on Disney, and Disney was excellent. In fact, Disney was so excellent that we have never been back on a Royal Caribbean cruise since. Watch this. Now, the question becomes, why is Disney excellent? Right? Is it because Disney does something that Royal Caribbean does not do? And the answer to that question really is no. Because if you know anything about cruising, they all pretty much do the same major things, right? I mean, there may be some nuances, but for the most part, they all generally offer the same thing. But what I come to find out that what separated Disney from all the other ones is that in everything that Disney does, they go over and above to exceed your expectations to make sure that you have an exceptional cruise. In everything that they do, they go over and above to exceed your expectations. So, for example, all the cruise lines have dining halls to where they feed people, right? But on a Disney cruise, you will never go on a Disney cruise and have a tablecloth that has any stains or dirt on it. Now, I know that seems insignificant, but I said they go over and above to exceed your expectation. I've been on some cruise lines to where some things you don't notice until you experience something else. But see, when you experience something else, you recognize like, man, what is this? You go back to the other thing. You're like, what is this? Listen, they all have stateroom attendants on every cruise. But the thing about Disney is that your room is always super, super, super clean. In fact, they have people go in your room at least 3 times a day to make sure that your room stays clean, morning, afternoon, and night before you go to bed. Why? Because they want to exceed your expectations. They want you to have an exceptional crew. The Disney staff, all of them have staff that care, but the Disney staff, they live to serve. Anybody ever been to Disney World? Don't everybody just always seem happy and jolly like they just live? What can I do for you, sir? Anything I can do for you? They live to serve. They make sure. I've been on some cruises where people got attitudes. Can I get some more chicken? Wait, you got to wait now. Go back and get in line. You skip. No. Not on the Disney cruise. Listen, I mean, they go over and above to exceed your expectation. All the cruises have entertainment. All of them have shows. But if you go to a Disney show, they exceed your expectation. They make sure that they go over and above to make sure that that show is the best that it can ever be. And what I've learned is that what separates mediocre cruise lines from exceptional cruise lines is that desire and that will to go over and above what you expect. And the fact of the matter is, that's what excellence is. Excellence determines everything in life, and it separates not just cruise lines, but everything. The will to go over and above is what separates a mediocre dad from an excellent dad. Would you agree? The will to go over and above and exceed expectations is what separates an average employee from an exceptional employee. Would you agree? It's in everything, going over and above is what separates that. In your prayer life, the difference between an average prayer life and an exceptional prayer life is the ability or the will to go over and above what's needed. Right? And so God in the Christian life has called all of us not to live mediocre lives, but to live excellent lives. The title of the message today is Living a Life of Excellence, because sometimes you can fall into a pattern of living a mediocre life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can start, whether you know it or not, to just start doing stuff on an average basis, just kind of going along and coasting with things. And God has called us to live an excellent life, a life of excellence, not one that just kind of does the normal, but one that does an excellent thing. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is how do we live an excellent life? How do we live a life of excellence? And in your text, Jesus gives us 3 principles on how we live a life of excellence. Okay, and in this text, you have to understand, it looks like Jesus is talking about how do you respond to retaliation, right? But I want you to follow along with me. When you watch it, you'll find that he's talking about principles that you need to go in order to be excellent. You follow me? Okay, so the first point is, if you got your Bible, the first point is living a life of excellence requires you to do more than the normal. Look at your neighbor and say, living a life of excellence requires us to do more than the normal. If you're going to live a life of excellence, you got to do more than the normal. There's one thing I found out about Disney is that they rarely do the normal on anything. They do everything that they can to exceed the normal expectation. So, for example, if you've ever cruised, you know all the cruises have an embark process to where you have to show your citizens documents and all that type of stuff, and you get on. And then when you get on the ship, you board the ship, and then you go to your room or you go eat and you do everything else you do. You won't do that on a Disney cruise. That's the normal process. You won't do that on a Disney cruise. When you board a Disney cruise, you go through all your stuff, your embarkation, but before you get on the ship, they make you and your family stand there at the very front of the ship before you walk on, and they have all their officers. They have all their staff waiting right there as you come onto the ship. And they have you sit there and they say, tell me your name. They ask you some questions. And as you walk on the ship, they're all sitting there saying, now welcoming the Jones family on their second cruise back on the Disney ship. And everybody's like, whoa, whoa, great, 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 great. That is something. Now the normal is just you just walk on. But see, excellent, something that makes it excellent is they go over and above what is normal. right? I want you to look at that text. Look there in verse 38. It says, Jesus says, you have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You see it there? In other words, Jesus is saying that's what's normal. That's what's been taught. If you look in Exodus and Leviticus, that's what the law said. The law said that if it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, whatever it was, it lists all these different things. And Jesus says that's what the normal process is. That's what it's like to live normal. But then he says, look in verse 39, I believe it is. He says, but I say unto you that you don't resist evil. He says, what else does he say? Well, I don't have my Bible. I'm talking to you. Do you see that? He says, whoever shall slap you on the left, turn to him on the right. So in other words, the normal process is if someone slaps you, what do you do? Now, let's be honest. Is that not the normal response? How many of you, if someone comes slap you, you're going to turn the other cheek? Can I be honest with you? If you come slap me after the service, I'm probably going to slap you back. I don't think I've met that level yet. That's the normal response. If you spit on me in my face, I'm probably going to try to spit back. In fact, I'm going to try to aim the spit to get you in the eye. You know that is the, watch what Jesus is saying. Now, listen, he's talking about retaliation, but don't miss the principle behind it. Don't miss the principle. He's saying the normal response is you hit me, I hit you back. But the problem with that is when you respond in the same way that someone responds to you, it doesn't make you excellent, it makes you normal. Watch this. When you respond to someone in the same way that they respond to you, you actually are no better than they are. Can I tell you, go to the next verse. Proverbs 26 says this. Read this with me. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Why? Do you see that? Don't miss the principle behind that. He says, if you respond to a fool or a person in the same way that they respond to you, you actually are just like them. If someone slaps you in the face, you slap them back, both of y'all violent. Right? If someone spits in your face and you spit back at them, both of y'all spitting jokers. Right? He's laying out a principle that when you do stuff like that, you're not excellent. You're not going over and above. You're doing what's normal. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the reason why the world has no respect for the church is because when situations occur, the church does what is. But yet you want to act on a higher level when in actuality our response is the normal response that everybody normally does. Come on, somebody. See, if you respond to someone in the same way, you're not excellent. You haven't done anything over and above. The only thing that you've done is done the normal. That's why I like the way how Michelle Obama say. She say, when they go low, anybody know what I'm talking about? In other words, she's saying, if you respond to someone in the same way that they respond, you're no different or better than they are. Do you see the principle of what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, listen, by the law, if you respond back that way, it's not an issue of whether you've done something wrong. It's just an issue of all you've done is what's normal. And Jesus is saying, in order to be excellent, you have to go over and above what the normal is. Can I tell you something? As Christians, you and I should never do anything normal. Nothing. And listen, I'm not talking about just here at church. Let me break it. I'm talking about on your job, at home. Because remember, we're not just talking about here. We should never do anything normally. Do you know why? Let me show you why. Because Colossians chapter 3, 17 says this. Read this with me. And whatever you do in... Wait, stop there. So he says, whatever you do in word, Watch this. Remember what he's about to say. Whatever you're saying or whatever you do, do what? Oh, did you catch what he says? In other words, he says, everything that you do or everything that you say represents Jesus. Everything that you do, you can't do anything normal because everything that you do and everything that you say represents a great king. Everything that you do and everything that you say, every place that you go, every place that you go, all the music that you listen to, every reaction that you say, all the gossiping that you do. Come on, somebody. The attitude with the children. The way you talking to your husband. Amen went down. Amen went down. He says, everything that we do, whether we say it or whether we do it, represents God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like your name attached to mediocrity and mess? You think the White House will attach their name to something mediocre? Well, okay. That's a bad example. Maybe I need to change the example. Okay. Depending on your persuasion, that may not be the best question. Okay. All right, let me switch it. Do you think the University of Florida? Do you think the University of Florida wants to attach their name? There's always one in the crowd. Okay, but here's the point. Do you think about this now. Remember, everything that we do, we represent him. And if we don't want our name attached to mess, do you think he does? I mean, every time you act a fool and you claim to be a Christian, you represent. The University of Florida won't want their name attached to something that's a mess. And one of the things that we have to remember is that we are ambassadors of a great king. Watch this. And when you represent a great king, you can't do anything normal. How many of you know that how many of you know the president represents the United States? I get it. In theory, the president represents the United States. Let me ask you a question. He represents a great nation, right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the president go to another nation and get off the plane on a Southwest Airlines jet? You ever seen him get off on American Airlines? No. You ever seen him get off on Delta? No. Why do you think that? Because Delta and American Airlines is normal. Those are normal planes. Those are normal things that happen. And the president, who represents a great nation, can't get off on Delta. He got to get off on what? Air Force One, baby. Because why? That represents a great nation. He's representing something great. And you and I represent a great king. And therefore, you can't do anything normal because of the person that you represent. But some of us are adapting a lifestyle or normality while you're representing a great king. And God's saying, stop tearing my name down. Everybody who's looking at you is looking at me. So the first thing is, to live an exceptional life, you have to do more than the normal. The second thing is, to live an exceptional life, you have to do more than is required. Look at your neighbor and say, to live an exceptional life, you have to do more than is required. Think about this now. Watch the principle. Look there in the verse. You all have your Bible. But in the next verse, Jesus says, if the person sues you and he takes your coat, watch the principle. You got to do more than is required. He says, if the person sues you and they take your coat, what does he say? Give them your cloak also. Do you see that? And then he says, if someone compels you to go a mile, go with them what? Watch the principle. Jesus is saying here, listen, you can't be excellent and just do the bare minimum. being excellent means that you got to be willing to go the extra mile. Okay, let me try to explain. Okay, during the time when this was said, Rome was in control. Rome ruled over Israel. Israel was being ruled by Rome, and Rome was so massive, it developed a series of roads and highways so that commerce and everything could go past, and that as their soldiers were going a different road, they had like a road system, like we have a road system. And while the soldiers were walking through, if you were a Jew, one of the soldiers could compel you or tell you, come here, boy, I want you to carry my armor for a mile. And it was the law that you had to do it. So if you can imagine yourself as a Jew, a young man, a young woman, or whatever it is, as a Jew, and you see a Roman soldier, and they say, come here, you. You look like a strong woman. Get this armor on and carry it for a mile. Watch this. What do you think is going to happen? Think about this. The whole time you carrying that armor, what are you waiting on? You waiting on that mile to end. You saying 5,280 steps, right? This is 5,000. 5,000 is one. 5,000 is two. Or you looking at landmarks. So when you know when you get at the mile, what are you going to do? You're going to take that armor off and drop it as soon as you can and get rid of it. Watch this, and that's the way how some of us live our lives. Watch this, you do the bare minimum. You do all that is required, and that's all you're gonna get. When 4:30 comes, I'm clocking out. Come on, this ain't only in church. I ain't even got to church yet. I'm talking about on your job. 4:30, you clocking out. It don't matter if you finish what you was doing. It don't matter if you at a stopping point. At 4:30, I am done. Checked out. I ain't doing nothing else. That's all I'm doing. And then you wonder why you never get promoted. Come on, tell the truth. Think about that. What's the difference between a good employee and an exceptional employee? The exceptional employee generally will do more than is required. Right? They'll go the extra step. If I ain't finished at 4:30 and I got to stay to 4:45, I'll stay to 4:45 so I can go ahead and get it done. If there's a customer in the store who needs something, and even though it's not required of me to go take them up over there, the exceptional employee takes the time to go ahead and walk the person up over there, show them where it is so that they can get an exceptional experience. But some of us have an attitude of just doing the bare minimum. But amen, that went down. Some of us at home, that's all you're going to do is the bare minimum. I'm speaking to myself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. That's not my responsibility. That's yours. I washed the dishes last time. It's your time to wash the dishes. Man, it must just be in my house. I don't even. I folded the clothes last time. It's your turn to fold the clothes. It don't matter what else is going on. It don't matter that she just walked in the house and is tired and you just sitting down on the couch doing nothing. Well, the amens now went down. Where's my time? And watch this. Look what Jesus, don't miss the principle. You can do that and you can live that life, but you'll never be excellent. At the most you're going to be is normal, mediocre. And what I found out is that the excellent life has benefits. You know what I found out? Is that when you take the extra steps to help somebody else out, they'll take some extra steps to help you out too. You know, it's something about when you do something that you're not required to do that just makes people want to show their appreciation. You know what I mean? If you got a son and he not required to cut the lawn this week and he just say, Dad, I just wanted to go ahead and do it for you. What you want to, man, come on here, man. Let me go in and give you a little something. I'm a blesser. And I found that even around the house, then when you do some things that you ain't required to do, it'd be some benefits. And so Don't miss the principle of what God is saying. You can do the normal and the standard, and that's fine. That's your standard, but you'll never be excellent, right? And God is calling us not to do what's normal. He's calling us to be excellent. Turn to that scripture of Solomon. Listen to what Solomon says. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. He says, whatever your hands find to do, do it what? Do it with your might. Do it with everything that you have. Listen, some of us here are serving, and you're not doing everything within your might. Can I just be honest? Let me flip it. Are you doing everything that you could do? On your job, are you doing everything that you could do? Or are you kind of just doing the bare necessity minimum just to get by? I've seen that so many times where people complain about the man won't promote me. And the question is, are you doing excellent work to be promoted? Well, I know ain't nobody want to say amen on that. But in order to get excellent rewards, you got to do excellent work. Solomon says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. See, some of us wait until we get sick and ill before you start trying to do everything. And God says, no, 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 don't wait till the grave. Do everything that you can do now. Watch this, because the truth of the matter is, right now you may be capable of doing excellence, but if you keep living long enough, you're going to get to a time to where you can't do that. So Solomon's saying, do everything that you can do, whatever it is. If you sing, sing with excellence. Don't get up there and don't know your parts. Don't know your notes. Sandra been trying to get me on the praise team since they started. Because of my ability to hear notes and my excellence in singing. No amen. No amen. No amen. Okay, let me close at this last. Okay, so I'm watching my time. So the last one is, if you look at the text, to live a life of excellence, you got to be willing to sacrifice. Last one, I'm just going to say, you got to be willing to sacrifice. Some of us want excellence, but you won't sacrifice. In business, they have something called opportunity cost. An opportunity cost is just a simple principle that says for every opportunity, it's going to cost you something. You got to give up something in order to do it. If you're going to start a business, then you're going to have to give up some time and some money in order to do that. And anything that you have an opportunity to do is going to cost you something. If you're going to serve, there's a cost to that. You're not going to be able to sit at home and watch days, what was it? Bold and the Beautiful and the Days of Our Lives. Now, see, y'all know some of y'all get so spiritual. I've had members come up to me and say, Pastor, you know, whatever I was saying, Days of Our Lives or whatever, that ain't on television, no, Pastor. We don't watch that anymore. It's Bold and the Beautiful and Young and the Restless. So let me get it right. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But that means sometimes you're going to have to give up some stuff. See, for some of us, the reason why you aren't doing excellent work is because you don't want to give up anything. And with anything, you're going to have to give up something. Look, notice verse 40. Jesus says, give to those, whoever asks of you, give to them. And whoever would ask to borrow from you, don't turn them away. Is that what it says in your Bible? Don't turn them away. Y'all got to, come on, y'all help me. Y'all got the Bible in front of you. I'm not reading. I'm trying to remember. He says, don't turn them away. Now, the context of what Jesus is saying is, think about this. He's saying, the person who just sued you, if they ask to borrow from you, give it to them. The person who just took your cloak, if they ask to borrow from you, don't turn them away. You got to read the context, the scripture in context. So how many know that that's not the normal response that you would do? If you just sued me and took my cloak, I ain't giving you. I'm the last person that you want to ask for money. Right? What's the principle that Jesus is saying? Is that sometimes in order to be excellent, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. right? You're going to have to do some things that you don't want to do. And the problem is many of us want excellence, but we don't want to do any sacrifice. Listen, when I'm comfortable on the sofa watching a football game and the boys' clothes got to be ironed for school, I don't want to get up. I would be much more comfortable sitting down watching my game and letting her walk in the house whenever she walk in the house and say, don't forget, you got to iron the clothes. And as she said last week, I think it was, whatever the illustration was, $20 flower or whatever it is and $1 million night or whatever it was, I found that a lot of that's true. If you don't put forth the effort, don't expect anything in return. Watch this. And God is calling all of us for excellence. But in order for us to be excellent, there's some things that you have to do. Let me close with this last scripture. Put the last one on there. Notice what it says in Colossians 3:23. I'm closing with this. Notice what he says. And whatever you do. Somebody say whatever. Whatever. Remember this. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, however you respond to anybody else, your husband, your spouse, whatever it is you do, wherever it is you serve, whatever ministry you serve in, whatever it is that you do, what does it say? Do it heartily means with all your might, all of your strength, do it with all the excellence that you can do it. Here's the question, are you doing that? As we get ready to close, are you doing whatever it is that you're doing with excellence? Or are you doing it average? Come on, somebody. Here's a question. Remember, the word of God will transform your life if you do something with it. I know what God is preaching right here is for somebody in here. Because I can guarantee you, if it's not at church, it's in the home. If it's not in the home, it's on the job. There are areas of our lives to where we're not doing it heartily. Watch. He says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to what? And not what? You know what I found? That right there, that last part, is the biggest reason why people don't do stuff with excellence. Watch this. It's because you feel you're doing it for a person. You feel you're doing it for your supervisor who you don't like, and therefore I'm giving you all that I got. Watch this. But God says, whatever it is that you're doing, the way you get your mind around it, you're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it for me. Watch this. Imagine the amount of arguments in your marriage. Boy, I know the amens, boy. Imagine the amount of arguments in your marriage that would go down if you stop thinking that you're doing it for him. Boy, I know we're going to get no amen. Imagine the bitterness that'll come out of your heart if you stop thinking you're serving your boss on the job and start saying, I ain't here for you at all. I'm here representing him. And therefore, I'm going to put up with your foolishness, and I'm going to put up with your nonsense. I'm going to put up with everything that you're doing because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. But how many know that's not how most of us are thinking about it? Be honest. Tell the truth. That ain't how most of us are thinking about it. The reason why I didn't want to get up off that sofa and fold them clothes. Well, let me go around. I'm not going to even address that. No. Can I do that? Because I thought it was her responsibility to do that. You know what I mean? I would have to get up and do it for her. Here's the question that goes through your mind. Will she get up and do it for me? Come on now. I know I can't be the only one. Now, I'm getting up to go do the iron for her. Would she do that for me if I was sitting here trying to watch the game? And you know what the devil gonna say? Nah, she wouldn't do that for you. You need to go ahead and sit on down. Come on, am I the only one in here? See, and it'll rob us because remember, you're not doing it for her. You're doing it for, watch this, let me close. And notice what else he says. Go to the next one. Notice what he says. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward. See, and that's a word for somebody. You're doing stuff and people may not reward you at all. People may not see what's going on, all the stuff that you have to do. Florence has served back in the nursery for, 100 years? I don't know what it was. She's been back there serving for a long time. Watch this. And nobody has probably ever given her the thanks that she truly deserves. Nobody has probably ever said thank you enough for all the time she's been back there with our children, And we know some of our children are off the chain. And here's the key. You may not ever get the rewards or things that you deserve, but the Bible says, who gonna reward you? So we don't work for people. The reward comes for him. And I like that last part, for notice what it says. For you serve who?